Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
This morning, I want to share a story with you, a true story. I often start that way. I think you might find this one funny, particularly the very first sentence. Around 10 years ago, when I was about 43 and Joe was about 43, we decided to take up running. Cue the laughter. You may laugh. That's a funny statement, isn't it? I just encourage you to laugh at it because now, 10 years later, I laugh at it as I say it. Around 10 years ago, despite the fact that we were 43 and neither one of us had ever been runners, and we were mostly sedentary, you know what that means, like we sit a lot, we decided to take up running. Now, I will admit, the idea was mostly mine and not Joe's, but Joe is such a kind, good, and supportive husband that he went along with it. What got into me, Maplewood? I mean, look at me. 10 years ago, I looked pretty much like this, although I was dyeing my hair, so I looked slightly younger, but I knew I wanted to be stronger. I knew I wanted to be more fit. I had a few friends who had done the couch to 5K. Have you heard of the couch to 5K program? It's like you go from being a couch potato to being able to run a 5K, which is not that far. Well, it feels really far if you're not a runner. And they have these free programs that you can just look up, and it gives you all the instructions. So I looked one up. And I thought, oh, I can do that. The first run, you walk for 5 minutes, and then you run slash jog for 1 minute. And then you do it again. Walk for 5 minutes, jog for 1 minute. And then you do it again. Walk for five, jog for one. And then a fourth time. Walk for five, jog for one. And we did that. Joe and I did that. And it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great either. Just saying. And my ankles were very happy with the walking part, but very unhappy with the running part. My ankles were like, I thought I probably need better shoes. So we went to the running store. There's one in Dublin. It's only about 20 minutes away from us. And we get new shoes. It's a cool store. You walk in there and they say, walk for us. And they watch you walk and then they tell you what shoes. Like you don't pick your shoes. They pick your shoes. They tell you, these are the shoes you need. They brought me out two pairs of shoes. I put them on. I picked the first one I put on because they felt really good. And I thought, I need the better support. And surely the next run's going to be better. So the next run, we walked for 4 minutes, run for 2 minutes, walk for 4 minutes, run for 2 minutes, and you do that cycle four times. Check, the next run, walk for 3 minutes, run for 3 minutes. 3 minutes, people. Oh. Check, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until we're eventually running for about 15 to 20 minutes straight. With no walk breaks. So about 6 weeks later, believe it or not, Joe Case and myself, we could both run about a mile. Not very fast, but we could run about a mile without stopping. Now, mind you, we weren't getting anywhere at all. We were just circling an outdoor track that's like near our house. So we were running in circles, but we were running about a mile without stopping. And to be completely honest, my ankles were getting increasingly angrier and angrier and angrier with every additional run. I got the good shoes on, but still, they are not liking me. For about 4 months, Joe and I actually ran consistently. And then it was about this time of year, and winter was starting to set in, and we turned to other exercise activities. I learned three things from that foray into running. Three things from my 4 months of being a runner. The first one is I hate running. Two thumbs down. Yes. Now, some of you might love running, and more power to you, truly. But this girl, I hate running. Number two thing I learned, my ankles really hate running. And number three, my 40-something-year-old body, which is now a 50-something-year-old body, really had no business being a runner. My ankles have never really recovered from that high-impact activity 10 years ago. If I wanted to be a runner, I should have started when I was like 14 or in my early 20s. But starting in my 40s with that high-impact activity was not right for me and my current physiology at that time. It would have been much wiser to choose a low-impact exercise that would have been good for me at that particular time in my life. But I didn't. And my sorry ankles still remind me of it to this day. So here is my public service announcement for all of you who are over 40 in this room. Now, that's not all of you, but many of you, you know who you are. You're over 40. If you're over 40 and you're thinking about taking up running for the very first time, I would say, don't do it. Choose something else. I'm sure about this time you're thinking, Pastor Vicki, where on earth are you going with this? Don't worry. I'm going somewhere with this. Today we're going to look at a passage in the Bible about running. If you don't have your Bible with you or your device that you would like to look up your Bible passage on, I encourage you, there are Bibles in the seats in front of you. You're going to get a whole lot more from the Word of God if it's in front of your face. So we're going to turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is in the major prophets part of your Bible. Easy way to find it if you've got a hard copy Bible is open about to the middle, and you're probably going to land somewhere in the poetry books like Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, or you might land around Isaiah, which is the first of the major prophets. So it's Isaiah, Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2 is where we're going. Jeremiah is a major prophet. That means he's got a lot to say. His book is long. It's major. The minor prophets had less to say, and their books were shorter. Jeremiah chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 25. And yes, this passage really is about running. But it is not the Vicki Case advice about running. It's God's advice. And that is, of course, enormously more important. So let's read it together. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 25. We're going to go to verse 27. I'm reading from the 1984 NIV this morning. Do not run until your feet are bare and your throat is dry. But you said, it's no use. I love foreign gods and I must go after them. As a thief is disgraced when he is caught, so the house of Israel is disgraced. They, their kings, and their officials, their priests, and their prophets. They say to the wood, you are my father, and to stone, you gave me birth. They have turned their backs to me and not their faces. Yet when they are in trouble, they say, come and save us. The word of the Lord. Jeremiah is a prophet. This is his book. A prophet's job, the kids could tell you this, they'd rattle it right off. A prophet's job is to hear a message from God and tell it to the people. And that's Jeremiah's job. That's exactly what he's doing in the 52 chapters of this book. He is sharing a message that God has spoken to him, and God spoke it to him expressly so he could share it with the people. You can look at it as a kind of divine public service announcement for God's people, full of wisdom and sometimes full of cautionary advice. We know Jeremiah was inspired by God to write this book between 627 BC. That's 627 years before Christ came. Between 627 BC and 586 BC, 586 years before Christ came. We also know that at the end of that time period, 586 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed. And that's where God's people resided. That's where Jeremiah resided. Jerusalem was destroyed because Israel, God's people, were stubborn and stiff-necked and refused to listen to God or his prophets, guys like Jeremiah. Although Jeremiah is an ancient book for ancient people, it also has wisdom for us today. We are God's people today. Amen? Israel was God's people then. We are God's people today. We, like Israel, are in need of wise and sometimes cautionary advice. I am. Aren't you too? Yes. And we, like Israel, I'm talking to myself here, folks, can sometimes be stubborn and stiff-necked and in need of course corrections. The older I get, the stiffer my neck gets. You know, we all have our moments, don't we? Where we stiffen up and we're stubborn, don't like to be told what to do. Israel, they had the same problem. Yeah. And it led to bad results for them. We don't want to be that, the one basking in the bad results of being stubborn and stiff-necked. So for just a few minutes, I want to look at these three verses and the wise advice that is contained here. And Lord, help us to have ears to hear. Help us to have hearts that heed the wisdom contained here. So look again at your scripture, verse 25. What are the first three words, Maplewood? Verse 25.
Do not run.
Did you hear it? What are they?
Do not run.
Exactly, right? Now, I can get behind that advice. I can. But he's not talking about physical fitness. He's talking about a different kind of running. He says, do not run until your feet are bare and your throat is dry. Now, let's concentrate on this picture for a little bit. Literally imagine running until you actually wear your shoes down so much that they can no longer cling to your feet. And they just fall off, leaving your feet bare, but you still keep going. Imagine running until your throat is just dry, scratchy sandpaper, absolutely parched, and you desperately would do anything for a drink of water, but you still keep running. So there you are with bare, unprotected, sore feet and parched, dry sandpaper throat. But you keep running. That sounds absolutely miserable to me. It is miserable. You're miserable when you do that. But you just keep running. This is the picture that Jeremiah is painting. And what is Israel running after? Read 25 again with me. My version says, do not run until your feet are bare and your throat is dry. But you said, meaning Israel, but Israel said, it's no use. I love foreign gods, and I must go after them. That term, foreign gods, that sounds weird to us. We're like, I'm not interested in any foreign gods. What is Israel running after? Foreign gods in this passage, let me help you with what that means. Foreign gods means counterfeits. They look good. They look life-giving, but they're not. They're actually life-sucking. They suck you dry. Dry, parched throat. They suck you dry, and you have nothing lasting or genuine to show for it. That's what Israel is running after. Fast. That's what they're running after. They're busy chasing all this counterfeit stuff, life-sucking stuff, stuff that seems important, but in the long run, literally the long run, is meaningless. And what's worse, they have allowed themselves to become driven by the meaningless stuff. It's not just their feet following after it. It's their heart. Their heart is following after it. Their feet are following after it. They say, it's no use. They say, I love it. They say, I must run after it. Who's in charge here? Not them. They are driven by these counterfeit gods. Remember, this is an ancient message for an ancient people, but also a relevant message for God's people today. Do not run, Maplewood, until your feet are bare and your throat is dry. Do not run after stuff that looks life-giving but is actually life-sucking. Do not run after the stuff that seems really important, but you know in the long run it will be meaningless. Well, how do I know if that's what I'm running after? Let me throw this out here, and this is just free advice. It's not even in my sermon. I sit with people who are getting ready to pass away. They know they're going to pass. What is important to you when you are knowing that your days here are very limited and you're going to pass away, compared to what is important to you when you think you have all the time in the world, can sometimes be two very different things. Let me tell you, a lot of stuff falls off like scales from your eyes by the time you're over here and you know that your time is limited. If you want to know what is most important in life, you need to think about what's going to be most important to you when you know you only have a short time in life left. Do not run after the stuff that seems important now, but you know in the long run it will be meaningless. Do not run after that stuff. Stop! Stop running. That's the first piece of cautionary advice from this passage. I can relate to that. I know it's ancient words for an ancient people, but those are real relevant words for this people right here, and I believe for all people. Wise advice number two from this passage. Look again, verse 26 and 27. Look at your scripture. As a thief is disgraced when he is caught, so the house of Israel is disgraced. They, their kings, their officials, their priests, and their prophets. They say to wood, you are my father, and to stone, you gave me birth. They have turned their backs to me and not their faces. This word picture really personally gets me right in the gut. If God said to me, Victoria, I'm always seeing your back and not your face. I'm always seeing your back and not your face. Victoria, you're so busy. You're always going every which way. I see you going, 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 working, 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 running, running, running. But I always see your back and not your face. You're giving your time and your value to all kinds of stuff, but you're not giving time and value to me, says the Lord. Oh, ouch. Do you ever wonder sometimes if we spend more time with our phone or our tablet than we do with what really matters, you know? Hey, I'm preaching to myself, folks. Jeremiah writes this as God's message to an ancient people, but this is God's message for us today also. It's a message for me. It's a message for you. God wants FaceTime with you and me, and plenty of it. He doesn't want your back all the time. We know that. The people we love, the people that love us, if we just start seeing their back all the time, we start to think they don't love us. Amen? It's the truth. It's the truth. We're made in the image of God. God doesn't want our back all the time. You can do all the stuff. You can run here and there and everywhere. You can work. You can sweat. You can toil. And you can totally miss the boat here, friends. God's message is stop running. Stop running till your feet are bare and your throat is parched after all the wrong stuff. And then turn around. Stop putting your back to God all the time. Put your face towards the sun, S-O-N. Not the big yellow S-U-N in the sky, the S-O-N. Put your face towards Jesus. What did we just sing? Look full in his wonderful face. And wise advice number three. Keep your face towards Jesus in all seasons. Not just the bad ones. As humans, we sometimes have a tendency to wait till things are going really badly to have a true come to Jesus moment. Amen. We get sick. We lose our job. Our spouse leaves us. Some horrible thing happens. And we find ourselves in the foxhole, praying a foxhole prayer. We see that here at the tail end of verse 27. Look at verse 27, the back half. They have turned their backs to me, says God, and not their faces. Yet when they are in trouble, they say, come and save us. Perhaps you can personally identify with the feeling of having someone who only shows you their face when they need something from you. Money or goods or favors. But then when they're given the requested goods or favors, we only see their back. Has that ever happened to you? Why does this rub us the wrong way? Well, we know why it does, because we know this isn't a healthy relationship. We feel manipulated and taken advantage of when that happens. We know this is not what love does. Amen? Yeah. Lord, forgive us for every time we've turned our face to God and say, help! We need provision! We're in trouble! Save us! Help us! But then, when the sun is shining again and the skies are clear, we turn our back. We don't need God then. We're good. Totally good. Jeremiah knows this is an issue for ancient Israel. We don't have any problem with that, do we? Of course we do. We're just people. A healthy relationship with God means we have generous face time with him in every season of life. Amen. In plenty, in want. Sunny skies, stormy skies. It's a discipline, isn't it? It's not easy, but it's right. And it's what we do with these earthly relationships. You know, I don't just love Joe when we're having a great day. I love him when we're having a terrible day. He loves me when I'm cranky. Can you imagine? He loves me when I'm cranky. Bless his heart. He's a good man. God wants us to be FaceTiming with him, whether sunny or stormy. So let's review. The public service announcement advice from these three verses, boy, they pack a punch. Number one, stop running! Stop running! Stop running after all the things. Stop running after the junk that will not count in the long run. Stop running after the stuff that's life-sucking and not life-giving. Stop running after that which is not of God. Amen? Number two, turn around. Stop giving God your back all the time. He wants FaceTime with you and lots of it. And what does that look like, Maplewood? Well, that looks like what we were talking about last week. We talked about how we are meant to be people of prayer. It's not just for a small subset of humanity. Prayer is part of our face time with our Father. Pastor Joe challenged us last week to pray 3 times daily. In the morning, pray the Lord's Prayer and use it as a representative prayer to guide our prayers. In the afternoon, pray for 2 children. Pray for 2 forgetters, those who maybe once knew Christ but now have gone in a different direction. Pray for 2 people that have never given Jesus a true hearing in your life. And then in the evening, pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Tap, tap, tap. It's the rhythm of having that face time with our Father. You remember that sermon? If you weren't here for it, go back and listen to it. You need to hear that. I needed to hear it. You know what? I'm working on the tap, 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 the rhythm of prayer in my own life. It's challenging for me too. But it's worth it. It's worth it. We need to turn around and spend more time, face time with our Father. That means more time in the Word, less time on my iPhone. That means more time in prayer. That means less time in mindless stuff that eats up our brain cells and literally our time. You've got to carve out time for this.
Amen.
You do. Just telling it like it is. And third, face the sun in all seasons, both sunny and stormy. I began today by telling you my story about trying to become a runner. I thought running would make me healthy and more fit and more happy. And what I discovered was that I made the choice to run, not because I'm an evil, horrible person, but I made the choice to run for all the wrong reasons. There was nothing nefarious in the reason why I did it, but it wasn't wise. It wasn't smart. Running was not life-giving for me. I believe it has actually contributed to the last 10 years of having ankle issues. I needed to stop running and do something entirely different. Jeremiah was calling Israel to a major course correction, calling them to stop doing one thing and to do something entirely different. Do you need that same advice? I do. I really do. This is how God grows us. Maybe today God is talking to you about some things you need to stop running after. Hear me now. Do not miss this. Is your day, your schedule, your calendar, is it too full? And I know you can like list off probably like 15 reasons why. But I got kids, but I got to work, but I got, I know. Is your schedule too full? Do you not have time to pray? Do you not have time to read scripture? You got to hear what Jeremiah is saying here. He's saying, stop running. That's what he's saying to Vicki Case. Is your schedule too full? Not necessarily full of bad things, but just too full. And you find yourself running with your back to God all the time, or most of the time. Maybe you're running after the wrong stuff. Counterfeit stuff, life-sucking stuff, stuff that God doesn't want for you, or just stuff that you know is not bringing you any closer to the Lord. It's just empty. It has zero value. Yet you find yourself running after it over and over again. You think it'll make you happy, but in the long run, you aren't. In fact, you find it really dissatisfying if you think about it for very long. Maybe today you've realized a pattern of putting your back to God more than you should. Maybe you have a pattern of praying foxhole prayers when you're in trouble, but then giving God your back when everything's fine. You don't mean to do it that way, but it's the path of least resistance. That's sometimes my issue. I mean, but that's just I just kind of drift into this. It's the honest truth of where we are sometimes. Is this you? I can honestly say that every one of these descriptions can describe me sometimes. I need to stop running. I need to spend more time with my face turned to the sun. I need to do it in every season, not just the hard ones. I want to repeat the song that we sang before prayer today, the Turn Your Eyes song. I want to use it as our closing today. I've already mentioned this is a place where you can feel comfortable to pray in any place, in any posture. We have altars. They're a wonderful place to pray. Some of them are on the side here, so they're closer to you. You can pray in your seat. You can kneel at your seat. It doesn't matter where you do it. Just pray. It doesn't matter what you say to me or anybody else, but it really matters the dialogue you have with the Lord. And let me encourage you today to start your prayer with repentance. As I was preparing this sermon, it drove me to a place of repentance. I said, Lord, I've had my back to you in times when I shouldn't have. Does it mean I was like in this place where I'm like, I hate God? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Although I've been in that spot before when I was much younger and had not come to Christ yet. This is just pure, I don't have my priorities in the right spot and I need to turn around. I had to come to a place with the Lord and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm running after dumb stuff. Just dumb stuff. I'm sorry, Lord, my back is to you. Sometimes more than my face. I'm sorry I have sometimes come to you for help in the storm and then ignored you when the sun is shining. Forgive me, Lord. And our God, who is slow to anger and quick to give grace and forgiveness and mercy, he meets us right there. He meets us right there. Forgive me, Lord, and teach me a better way. I encourage you to start your prayer right there. That's where I started mine.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.